3 for our reading tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Hear God's word, 2 Timothy 3, 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and imposters or seducers will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. May God bless His word to our hearts. You may be seated. Let us seek the Lord's face together before we look at His word for a few moments. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your quickening work by the Holy Spirit in writing your word upon our hearts so that we desire to know your will and we seek your strength to do it. We hear our Savior's benediction from Luke 11. Blessed are those who hear your word and keep it. And oh, how we long, oh Lord, like David prayed, my heart fainteth for the longing that it hath for your judgments at all times. Your word is sweeter than honey to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Lord, our hunger is toward you like newborn babes. We desire to know you, to see your power in our lives, to walk with you. We know, O Lord, that you are faithful, that you're in our midst, that you have restored us to yourself. Now as we have your blessed word, help us to heed it, to follow it. We pray especially for our young people, that they would appreciate more and more the privilege of having your word near to them, that they would desire to understand it, that they would hear from us as parents a testimony, as elders a testimony that your word literally has saved our life, because it has. Because it is by your living voice that you have brought us out of our tombs. It's by your word that we keep ourselves from the paths of the destroyer. So Lord, we ask tonight that you would bear witness with us as we look at this passage of Scripture and encourage us with it. Lord, there are many who are sick in our midst. We ask for their healing. Some traveling on business. We ask, O Lord, that you would preserve them. Lord, we do pray that throughout this area for the Gwinnett County commissioners and others who are seeking elected office, that you might, in your mercy, because the kingdom is yours and you rule over the nations, that you would give us men who would rule justly, ruling in the fear of you. Lord, that you would have mercy upon us and that you would deliver us from those who speak proud things contemptuously against your people, and whose mouths parade through the earth, and they say to themselves, God does not see, the Most High takes no knowledge of this. But Lord, you do see, you do behold iniquity and mischief to repay it with your hand. Oh Lord, have mercy upon your people. Have mercy upon Pastor Yi in China and the ruling elder there from Early Rain Church. Bless those who are being persecuted in Algeria, Eritrea, throughout Western Africa, throughout the Middle East. We ask, O Lord, that where you would have their blood, that it would be precious to you and that it would be the seed of the church in generations to come. And Lord, that your enemies would continue to lick the dust of your feet, whether it's by a virus, whether it's by economic issues, whether it's by losing face in the public arena. But, O Lord, we know that there is only one King to whom all the kings of the earth must bow the knee. And we ask, O Lord, that they would bring their gifts into the church, as it says in Psalm 72:10, and kiss the Son. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, tonight, a standalone sermon. Sometime maybe we'll start another series, but I'm thinking about our children tonight. I'm thinking about the Bible, since I pray for them regularly, and I know you do as well, and we love our children. Since we know that boys will be leaders in their home, in their church, in the world, since we know girls will be guardians of the home, helpmeets, disciples, and who knows what God will call them all to be. We need to make sure they understand why there's a Bible in our house, why that old Bible's on the table, why you may have a cherished heirloom in your home, a family Bible that goes back from generations. Why do we need to read the Bible? That's one of my motivations behind this passage this evening, because I love our young people. And I actually thought about doing a whole series for them, but I didn't know if everybody'd like that. So this is just a one time. We love our children. We want them to understand the Scriptures. Second, in an age that has increasing indifference to the Bible, don't read your Bible. Don't make too much of the Bible. We sure don't need the Old Testament. The New Testament's kind of suspect. What we just really need is to have an encounter with Jesus. We need to remember the Scriptures are called the sword of the Spirit. And the only thing that's going to ward off the evil one and make him flee, as James says, is part of that armor that God has given us in his word, which is the sword of the Spirit, the Scriptures coming out of our Savior's mouth. This passage gives us three reasons why children need to know the Scriptures. And you remember Timothy, this is a very dear boy to the Apostle Paul, and he's got a bit of a family legacy. In chapter 1, verse 5 of the same letter, Paul says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." This was at best late first generation, very early second generation in Asia. Not many people have been converted to Christ, but already there's the passing on of what we'll see tonight is a love for the Bible, a love for the Scriptures that they had. They didn't have as much of it as we have, but what they had, they loved it. There's three reasons given in this text. First of all, in verses 12 through 14 of 2 Timothy 3, there's a war going on. Notice here in verse 12, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." One of the reasons young people need to know the Bible is because there's a certain mistreatment, sometimes even full-blown persecution. And so the Scriptures are God's preparation for the young to get ready for that battle. Verse 13 gives a second reason, and that is the world is filled with seducers, evil men and imposters. The Greek word here can mean seducers. They go from bad to worse. They say things like, "Well, you can't question our version of love. You can't question, well, we love each other. Who are you to question love?" All kind of seducers. The Bible's not really the Word of God. Don't you know the Bible was written a long time ago, and you can't trust old books? And if you know, don't you see these are seducers? And Paul's already reminding Timothy, this is what happens. Evil men and seducers go from bad to worse. They don't stop. The principle of sin is active and restless. Why? Because of Isaiah 48:22, there is no peace for the wicked. And so as young people, we need to heed God's warning that the world is full of deceivers, and our protection is the Scripture. And then there's God's calling in verse 14 related to this war, and that is, what are you supposed to do when you see these things happening? You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. How boring. I thought when people were seducing, I thought when people were suggesting new ideas, what we really need to do is we need to adapt. Okay, we need to modify. We need something new, because after all, the old truths just won't work anymore. Notice that wasn't the apostles. That's not the Holy Spirit's answer to the war that's going on. He says, you got to hold fast. You have to continue in the things that you have learned. And we'll talk more about that in just a minute. But this is a basic context for that very famous declaration in verse 15, which has an even more famous declaration in verse 16 that we won't get to tonight. But you're in a war, Timothy. You're a young pastor. You've got Christian faith on your side now. You're the second generation. You've learned these things, or third, I guess. You've learned them from your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice. You're in a war. Expect persecution. Heed God's warning. There's going to be seductions out there. Heed God's call to continue in what you have learned. And then verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Childhood. Childhood's not the time for games. Childhood's not the time for games alone. Childhood's not the time to go through without having your will crossed. Childhood's not the time to be left to your own devices. Childhood is the season to learn the Scriptures, to learn God's holy word. Now, before we go there and look at some of these things that are implied in these and very specifically stated here in verse 15, let me just tell you kind of my approach to the Bible. But you need to understand where I'm coming from and where I believe the Bible would have us go. The Scripture's not dead. This isn't a museum relic. Now, granted, if we had a Gutenberg Bible up here, I suppose we might want to put that under a little bit of lock and key because it could be somewhat valuable. But the Scriptures themselves, this written book called Holy Bible, because it is the holy book of God's Word, it's living and powerful. It's not static. It's not a systematic theology. It's not a document in which we develop systems of theology primarily. Primarily what it is the living Word of God, so that when we read the Bible, so that when we pray the Bible, meditate on the Bible, study the Bible, share the Bible and its truths with other people, it's the same thing as if Jesus Christ was standing in the room and talking with us, because it's His living voice. Now, I know He's not here physically. I'm not comparing, you know, your copy of the Bible with the physical presence of Christ, but it's His living Word. Isaiah 55:11, it cannot return to Him unfruitful. Now, in the light of that, the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, from your childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. All right, notice here, which are able to make you wise. Look at the end of verse 14 first. Knowing from whom the things you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. So here's a point here that I think we ought to remember. Paul says, Timothy, remember this about the Bible. The Bible's the only source of what we would call certainty. It's the only light in which we understand the world in which we live. Yes, God has revealed Himself in nature, but we've gouged out our eyes. We need the Bible, as Calvin said, to gather up our otherwise confused and unclear knowledge of God that we gain from nature and to make it clear in the light of the lens of Scripture. Look at a few passages of Scripture, one in the old, one in the new. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 17 through 21. He says, Timothy, remember this about the Scriptures that you have learned from your childhood. Remember, these are things you have been assured of. These are the certainty of God's Word. They're able to make you wise. Proverbs 22, 17. Incline your ear. Verse 17 of Proverbs 22, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, apply your heart to my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you, let them all be fixed upon your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you, have I not written to you excellent things of counsel and knowledge, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send you. And in the New Testament, Colossians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. Nothing about our experience gives us certainty. Nothing about gurus in the world who speak to us gives us certainty. What gives us certainty is the words of God, the Word of God. And of course, this is all dovetails into Christ. Colossians 2, verse 3. In whom, and in Jesus, meaning, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, all of them. That's an exclusive pronoun, all. They're all in Christ. Now this I say, the reason I say this, is lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Well, there's wisdom in other places. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy. Spoil you is the Greek word there. Plunder you is the idea through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic or elementary principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For to Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, not just in the esoteric world of the Spirit, but bodily. And you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. So he says, basically, Timothy, remember, you've known these scriptures from your childhood. God's Word, you've been assured of them. These things are foundational. They're the only certainty. He mentions something else to him. He says, remember from whom you've learned them. Your parents and teachers who love you. Look in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. I wonder what happens to us, young people, and I ask this question to you honestly, and I hope you'll ask it to yourself. What happens that you start listening to other voices that tell you, well, don't really listen to your parents. They don't really. And you, well, maybe my parents don't really. Well, remember about your parents. Their parents love you. They know God's truth. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chain about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. Verse 14, cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse, my son. Do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. We could go on and on in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father and give attention to understanding. Paul tells Timothy, remember who you learned these things from. We know their names. Remember, you learned these from your grandmother and from your mother. Timothy's father was a Greek and he did not believe, but he did not prevent Timothy's mother and grandmother from teaching him God's word. Okay, your friends do not know more than your parents. Now, your friends may know more what your corrupt heart wants. Okay, and so that's a little bit tempting. Sweet little girl may know more of what you would like or a boy, but that's not the same thing as having understanding. That's not the same thing as wisdom. So the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, make sure in terms of your childhood as you remember it and look back on it. Hold fast to what you learned. Remember who you learned it from. Remember, it's your duty to hold fast. This is clearly implied here, but continue in the things which you have learned. Continue in the scriptures. Remember who you learned them from. Remember that God's word is the only certainty. And so childhood is the time to learn these scriptures. And children, I'm just going to be right on the line here. So you turn 12, 14, 16, 18, 21, and you say, well, you know, I think I'll make my own decision. You don't have the right to. You do not have the right to make your own decision. When it comes to whether or not you want to obey God or not obey God, you do not have the right to turn away from what your mother and your father taught you. Now, I hope none of you want to, but just to be real clear on this thing, we're not Americans here, we're Christians. And this is where Americana and the American magic of the 18 club and the 21 club and you can make your own decision and the Bible part ways. Because God clearly commands, and I want you as young people to take this in and smell it. Because it's the enslaving air that says, well, when I'm 16, 18, 21, whatever, I can make my own decisions. And if I want to, I can follow Satan all the way to hell. When God says, listen, remember who you learned these things from, your mama, your daddy who loved you, who wiped your bottom, who would sit in front of a train as it was coming and push you out of the way if it was necessary, no matter what, remember it's your duty to hold fast. So this is very important because oftentimes children, as you know, start getting 16, 17, 18. I was there too. You start getting kind of big for your britches and you think, well, I'll kind of look around a little bit. Jesus says you can't. Look in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. We need to take these things way more seriously as a church. As young people, you need to take them seriously. Jesus is bound in covenant with you. You don't have the right to turn away. Why would you want to? He offers you heaven. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Turn to several verses in Hebrews, beginning in chapter 3, verse 6. This duty of holding fast, of staying faithful to what you have been taught. We need to resurrect it, because it's a biblical command. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of our hope firm unto the end. 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Chapter 10, verse 23. Chapter 10, verse 23. We could pick several more out here, but we'll do this last. This last one. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. Well, that means I might not get to sample some of the world. That means I might not be able to do what I want. Well, we need to ask God to change our want to's, don't we? Okay, because he says here very clearly, Timothy, listen, the reason Timothy was able to be a young pastor is because from his childhood he'd been taught the scriptures. So Paul says, remember Timothy, God's words, you've been assured of these things. You know that there was a personal assurance in your life because God's word is certain. It's the foundation of truth. Remember who taught them to you, your grandmother, your mother. And remember, it's your duty to hold fast. Now, let me be as explicit as I can be. A temptation is put in front of you, young person, whatever your age is. It can come mighty early. I had some early temptations at 7 and 8 years old, and I remember them very well. Is it going to be my will, or is it going to be God's will? And some of you, you know, maybe even earlier than that. Remember, you've got a duty that God puts on your life. I'm going to have to hold fast. I know I'm being tempted, but here's the American idol that we've got to like identify, expose, and destroy like Gideon did. Just because I want to doesn't mean I should. Just because I have a feeling that it would make me feel good if I did this, that is utterly irrelevant in God's government of the world. I need to give my feelings to God. I need to give my heart and my soul to God. And remember that childhood is the season to learn the scriptures like Timothy did. Lastly, notice what they're described at in verse 15 specifically. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Notice each word here. Holy scriptures. Somebody asked me recently, why do all Bibles say holy Bible? Well, because holy book. Bible just means book. It's the holy book because it's God's word. But there's something profound here. Okay, the scriptures are holy. They take on what? The attribute of God himself because they are God's word. Look at a couple verses in Psalm 119 with me that kind of bring this out. Psalm 119, 140, and then 160 that just emphasize the holiness of God's word so that we have a sense of its purity and its perfection, God's own character attached to it. David here in the middle of this says, in the middle of this section, he says, your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. Verse 160, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. God's word is set apart. It's God's holy thoughts. It's always true. It's holy. It's set apart. Notice the second thing that's said in verse 15. Not only are the scriptures holy, but they'll make you wise. Whoa! Wasn't that something? They'll make you wise. Now listen, all the things you need wisdom for, you've got to decide a calling. You've got to decide, what am I going to do to serve God in this life? You have decisions about marriage, decisions about friendship, and there's so many options out there, and everybody's spewing their ignorance and their own opinions, and sometimes we do the same thing in the church. I need wisdom. I need guidance. Where shall the young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to his word. Where shall the young man learn guidance for his way? By being in the scriptures. The scriptures make you wise. Colossians 2:3. Now I'll just say this. Now, by the time you start reading, and again, I know there's many reasons to learn how to read, but you'll regret one day all the other reasons that you learned how to read if you forget the main reason that our forefathers wanted us to learn how to read, and that is so we could read the Bible for ourselves. And why is that? Because we need the wisdom that only God's Word can give us. The Scriptures are able, as we eat them, meditate on them. Now, I want to be real clear about this. That doesn't mean every time you read the Bible, you're going to hear angel voices or symphonies or even necessarily feel like it. Any more than a farmer would go out and want to start his tractor at 6 in the morning and till his field and plant and hoe and do all the things that he has to. But that's the metaphor the Bible gives for growth. You've got to sow and you've got to water and there's seasons and it's cyclical. But God's Word is able, as you give yourself to it, to make you wise. I dare say we've all known times in our life where we look back and say, that wasn't very wise. I shouldn't have done that. I wish I'd made a different decision. You may know other people in your life right now, you're thinking, something's wrong with them. They're making really bad decisions. And that is because Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, there's no future. Because it's in God's light that we see light. So Paul says here to Timothy, young people, it will make you wise. Can I make a suggestion? I don't know if you'll do it or not, but I hope you will. And that is memorize a verse in Scripture every day for the rest of your life. And start out and do chunks and hunks. And it doesn't mean that you've got to remember everything that you memorize and keep reviewing it over and over again. Just put an index card, write Scripture on it, hold it in your heart, think about it with this promise, God's Word will make me wise. Now, that doesn't mean when I'm 14, I'll have all the answers in the world and I can tell my daddy how the cow ate the cabbage. But you may. David said in Psalm 119, verse 99, I know more than all my teachers because your testimonies, your word, are my meditation. David says, I know more than the ancients, the very next verse, because I keep your precepts. So God's Word, over time, just dig into it. Just trust me. Trust the whole testimony of the church. Trust the Holy Spirit. God's Word is able to make you wise, to guide your steps, to keep you from serious error in your life, and if you do fall into it, to lift you back up. Young people, commit. Thy Word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. But the highest thing, verse 15, are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. God's Word leads you to Jesus. Look in John chapter 20, verse 31. John tells us that's the purpose of why he wrote this gospel. John chapter 20, verse 31, there at the end of the book. Why do we read the Scripture? So we can chock our head full of doctrine? No, so that we can know Jesus. Doctrine is like the folds of his garment. It reveals more of his excellence. John chapter 20, verse 30. And Jesus truly did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Notice, John says, I've written these things to you so that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. After a long section here about the Word of God, verse 14 of Romans 10, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? And he quotes from Isaiah, verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Then his conclusion is, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It's not faith comes by my experience and looking within myself and finding the light within me. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by God's Scriptures. And so what we need to take really, really seriously here, that Paul, as he tells Timothy back in 2 Timothy 3:15, the wisdom that this is leading you to is salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, so you may say, well, I don't necessarily feel like doing what you said. I'm tired. I have to get up early in the morning. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to memorize a verse a day. I don't see the point in it. I don't really feel like it right now. But notice here this glorious thing that the apostle sets out. The scriptures are such, the holy scriptures, the scripture that your parents taught you, the scriptures that you've been assured of are able to make you, there's a progression here, wise unto salvation as you give yourself to them. You might say, well, I don't feel like it right now. Just obey God. Don't worry about your feelings. Feelings will come. Jesus said in John 13:17, if you know these things, you'll be happy if you do them. Start obeying God and say, Lord, I'm going to give myself to your word. I want you to teach me. I need to know you. This is what Timothy did. His grandmother Lois taught him when he was little. He didn't understand everything. He didn't hear angels and symphonies. But God's word grew in him like a seed until it bore great fruit of wisdom in his life. The scriptures lead you to faith in Jesus. Now let me give you one example. So the fifth commandment. You hear me talk about it all the time. You don't like it. But I'm going to talk about it more, okay? And more and more and more and more, because Jesus talked about it a lot. And in fact, in Mark chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 10, he told the Pharisees that you deserve to die. Looking at 30 plus year old men, you had to be 30 at least to be a Pharisee. And you had to be married. But because they didn't honor their parents anymore and didn't keep the fifth commandment, Jesus just dismissed the whole lot of them and says, well, you deserve to die because you have made God's commandment of no effect by your vain tradition. But you come to something like that and you reach a place, it doesn't have to be 15, it could be 8, it could be 10, where your mom or dad tells you to do something and you say, I don't want to do it. I don't want to. Sometimes unbelief can be pretty honest in our lives, can it? I don't want to do it. And then you remember the fifth commandment, but you say, I don't want to obey the fifth commandment. I don't have the strength to obey the fifth commandment. Oh, that's where the Bible says, of course, I'm not saved by obeying the fifth commandment. I've broken the fifth commandment too many times. Jesus, will you forgive me? Jesus, you have kept the fifth commandment perfectly. You obeyed. You were subject unto your mother and your father. And you did what they told you to do. Now will you forgive me that I haven't? And will you then give me strength to make a little bit of progress in honoring my parents, which is one of my fundamental duties right now as a young person? And then that's how I hold fast to your word. Do you see, that's how the scriptures lead us to Jesus. Because when we come to a command, it's not like, well, I can do that. It's more like, I can't do that. Or when it gives us a promise, we don't say, well, I can believe that. Oh, I don't believe that. I mean, I do right now, but tomorrow I don't. The scriptures lead us to him as our Savior, as our Lord, as our wisdom, as our strength, as our rock. And God's word is powerful and able to create and sustain that saving faith in the Lord Jesus. Give yourself to it. Children, you have a duty. Look around you at the adults in this room. I'm not speaking to them at the moment directly, but all the adults in this room are getting older by the moment. Some of us are showing it, okay? And there's a responsibility that you have to say, you know what? It's my time now. I need to shoulder the responsibility. God created me to hear his voice. I'm in this place in the world with all the other garbage going on where I've got a Bible in my home. I've got scriptures. I've got a mom and daddy. I've got elders. I've got Mr. Cunningham, Mr. Bailey, Mr. Horton, Mr. Boyd, Mr. Beta. I've got all these elders who are teaching in terms of the scriptures. I need to listen. I need to grow in these things and give myself to them, even if I don't understand everything right now. Neither do I. Neither do any of the elders that I just mentioned. Mr. Alton, he understands a lot, but he doesn't understand everything. Neither does Mr. Cunningham. Neither does Mr. Strievel. But what? We're all like newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the Word so that we may know Jesus and have the wisdom that comes from above. So I'll end with just a few thoughts from these verses by way of application. God set a privilege before you, young people. And I just want to encourage you as we conclude tonight. You know, remember that you're in a war. God says you need the scriptures. There's persecution. There's hardship coming. The world's full of deceivers. Childhood is the time to learn the scriptures. The scriptures are God's holy word that leads you to the Lord Jesus. What a privilege. It's as if And this is actually what I believe happens with God's covenant in a variety of ways. But it's as if God came down to your bedside. Let's pick on Mr. Jude and Hope and Joshua and Paige and all of you who are little. Maybe even as little as Deborah over here. And he comes down and to Mr. Patrick too. And he whispers and he says, "Hey, I let you be near my word and to hear it from your earliest days. It's as if God whispered and said, I want you to be happy. I want you to know me forever. I want you to have wisdom so that no matter how bad it gets in the world, you've got a sword, you've got a shield, and you are going to be able to resist all the fiery darts of the wicked one because you are holding fast to these scriptures." So remember a couple of things. One, the scriptures are the greatest gift God will ever give you. After Jesus, the Bible is the greatest gift the Holy God will ever give you. I think any growing adult in this room would testify and stand up right now and say, the Bible has saved my life. More than once, it's more like 1,000 times. Maybe at the time, I didn't even know the Bible was saving my life. And it's not this book, and because it's got a cover and 5 bands on it, or 6 bands, and gold letters on the spine and red letters. It's because it's God's living word. What a gift. What a gift. And so what? It's a sweet treasure. Know God's word. Know it. Secondly, the scriptures are your shield. You know, it's amazing, God, you know, we struggle sometimes with young people and they do go astray. I went astray for a period of time and didn't love the Lord. And we scratch our head and say, well, why? Oh, because as a young person, you didn't believe and use the scriptures. I mean, it wasn't a great mystery. I mean, we want to act like it's some huge mystery. But if you ask, were you reading about it? Well, no, I mean, I read it last year. Okay. I read it when I was 10, okay, and you're 22, all right, and you're struggling with God says, I'm putting this everlasting gospel, this eternal truth right here in your hand. Your fathers and mothers in the faith died so that you could have the scriptures, died to preserve it against the railings and the wickedness of popery and the evil of the Roman Catholic Church. They died so that you could have the Bible, and you neglected it? Well, I mean, shame on you. But then again, there's no surprise if we can't beat the devil if we don't take up the shield and the sword that God says beats the devil. So the scriptures are God's gift to you. Know them. The scriptures are God's shield to you. Believe them and use them. They're also your heritage. Look in Psalm chapter 119, verse 111. Psalm 119, 111. This is a beautiful little line. Everybody can memorize this before you go to bed tonight and kind of sweeten your taste buds. Psalm 119, 111, or just the first half of it, but the second half's good too. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. The reason we're here is because most of the adults here at some point in their life came to a place where they said, we love the Bible. We love God's word. We want to hear it preached. We want to try to obey it. We love Jesus. We love the gospel that he gave us. We love his word. Guess what, young people? Like Timothy, see, Eunice and Lois, his grandmother and his mother, they passed on that knowledge and love of the scriptures to him. Now Timothy is a pastor and Paul's encouraging him, hey, hold fast. Remember who taught you. Make sure you pass this on now to other faithful people. But before you're going to want to do that, you've got to say, God's word's my heritage. God's word's my heritage. Meaning what? It's my inheritance. It's what God's given me in this world. It's the only thing that you'll take with you in your brains for the most part to heaven itself is the God's word that you remember because it's eternal. It's eternal and set in the heavens. Is it yours? I mean, think of all the things. I think, what if my house was on fire and I could only get one thing out? What would I go get? Well, I guess I could go to the store and buy another Bible, but I think I'd want to go get my Bible. Well, this is after my wife and children, of course. Okay. I think I'd want to go in and get the Bible that I'm used to reading all the time. And because there's something about the Bible that of having a copy that's been thumbed over, cried over, prayed over, believed, trusted. It's been with you. We used to believe this. We used to pass on family Bibles, and maybe some of it was just formality and traditionalism. I grant you that. But some of it was a real faith. That daddy and granddaddy and great-granddaddy had been on their face before this Bible. This is my heritage, and now I'm going to pass it on. What is this age in America going to pass on? I started thinking, 50 years from now, are we going to have rap renewals and revivals? I wonder. I mean, they won't be able to breathe in 50 years. They smoked their brains out. What are we passing on? Well, we're in a video game conference. We know they're going to celebrate Comic-Con, Comic-Con. Let's go dress up as Spider-Man when you got a cane here. This is our inheritance, okay? This is what we're passing on to the next generation. We video gamed our life to death. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with playing video games, but what is our heritage? What is it that we love that's our passion? Jesus went to the cross because his passion was the Bible. His Father's Word, it's my delight. I'm going to keep it. Even on the cross, you remember sometime find that little line in John 21 where it says, "And Jesus, knowing that everything written in the Scriptures were now fulfilled, said, I thirst." I mean, he's running over in his mind. Psalm 22, perhaps some of Psalm 18, certainly Isaiah 53. And he's saying everything. All the promises to David, all the promises to Isaac on Mount Moriah, the lamb in the thicket, all the promises all the way back to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:15, everything is fulfilled. And only then would he allow himself at one level to give way to the creaturely misery. I'm so thirsty. Think about it. This is our heritage, God's holy word. Now, parents, one last word to you, and you've been very indulgent. I had my dad's Bible. I've already given it to my son, and didn't know I was going to have other sons, but when I gave it to him, and so I'm sorry for that, Jackson and Joshua, but the thoughts were well taken. But you know, I remember something about my dad. I remember we didn't talk a lot about, he wouldn't really let us talk bad about other people and stuff like this. But when we came home from church, and you know, we didn't talk about, well, so and so was wearing this, and they, you know, here what did the preacher talk about? And then you know, we had family devotions where you know we read the Bible, and I remember a couple times he kind of broke down. As he was reading, you know what you've got to have to win your children for the Bible? And I don't want to be too simplistic, but you yourself have got to have a love for the Bible. It's got to be the testimony to your child. I love God's Word. God's Word saved my life. Remember Lois and Eunice? Who knows? We don't know anything else about them. But they passed on to Timothy a love, an evident, palpable, touchable almost love for God's Word. And this is what gripped Timothy's heart when he was a little guy, and then now that he's an adult. This needs to be your testimony, parents. It needs to be mine. Not, well, I'm smart now, so I want to make me look. I've always been this smart. I've always had these books that I've had. I've always been, nope. Nope, God hates pride. He particularly hates pride in people who do have some measure of his truth. The testimony has to be, I was a dead man and God saved my life through his word. And even if you grew up in the bosom of the church and you never, God preserved me from having to go in dark places because his word was true in my parents' life and they taught me like God told them to. And God preserved me and I love God's word and it is my heritage that I want to give to you. You know, I realize we live in, you know, some times that kind of make us a little bit scared, but I'm not really scared anymore about the times in which we live. They don't. You know, if you read Calvin, Luther, if you go back and read Chrysostom, if you go back and read Augustine, they're always talking about these are the worst days there ever was. I just kind of think everybody's always thought it's the worst days there ever were. Plus, we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Use it. Believe it. Pass it on. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, give our children a hunger and a thirst for it. Give us a hunger and a thirst for it. This is our common heritage together, that you have given us your holy word. May it become our passion more and more. May we hide it in our hearts. Oh, Lord, it doesn't matter if we're 20 or 90. We need to live, and we only live by every word that comes from your mouth. Lord, renew our zeal for your word, our hunger for it, our passion, our delight to obey it. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Turn in the hymnal to number 626.